sing this together tonight. Good to be in church again together. Oh, spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born for this valley. Oh, you were born for the sky. So don't let your trials get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little child, don't let your trials, don't let them get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Just mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle. Together. Tonight, I want to continue to remember Sister Lisa Cooley's uncle, David Haubegger, who's just for a continued recovery from his brain surgery there, where he had a brain aneurysm. And then also, Brother Larry Elliott had asked that we'd remember his wife Tanya in prayer. She's got the shingles and is in severe pain. I've heard that's very painful, so we just sure want to remember her in prayer, that the Lord just give her a touch and just heal her body. And also Brother Anthony and Sister Tina, I ask that we remember Treasure and Jackson both in prayer tonight. And Jackson, I think, has a kind of a croupy cough and a low fever, and I want to remember him in prayer. Also, Brother Layton had asked that we just remember Brother Amalong in prayer. He's having heart troubles, and I think is scheduled for a heart surgery here coming up in a few months. And also Brother Layton's nephew, Brother Joel Lunsford, who's suffering with kidney stones. And then Brother Daryl's granddaughter, Kaylee, tripped and fell and bumped her head and has a real big knot on it. So just want to remember her in prayer. and also Sister Estera not feeling well tonight. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Truman, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen. Good to be together again.
May we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be back in your house. Lord Jesus, may we come with sincerity and knowing that you are God, Heavenly Father. You heard these requests, Lord, very needy. Lord, we ask you to take charge. Take charge of each unspoken request, Lord. May your will be brought in this service tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. Ruth, you got a special for us tonight. Words written down, Brother Jimmy, so amen. She did a good job. Amen. Lord bless you tonight. I haven't sang this in a while, but some of you might know it. It's the same key, Sister Stephanie. I had this on my heart last couple days. Amen. How many wants to stay sanctified? Don't think you're good and sanctified, take my kids with you to Meijer sometime and go shopping and you'll get good and sanctified or find out whether you are or not. Well, sometimes down here my load gets hard to carry and it seems that all my works I try. I'm trying so hard, everything's a failure. Whatever I do, ever I go, keep me sanctified. Oh, keep me sanctified. When those storm clouds gather, when the battle gets rough, whatever I say, keep me sanctified. Well, the messenger came to old Job one evening.
But I can hear old Job say, though God slay me, I'll trust him. Well, he lost everything he ever had gained, but he stayed sanctified. Oh, keep me sanctified. When those storm clouds gather, when my battle gets rough, when my way gets hard, oh, when I'm trying so hard, but everything's a failure. Lord, whatever I do, whatever I say, keep me sanctified. Yes, that messenger came to old Job one evening. Well, he said to Job, said your children are dead. Oh, I still hear old Job say, Lord, if you slay me, I'll trust you. He may have lost everything he ever had gained, but he stayed sanctified. Oh, keep me sanctified. When the storm clouds gather, when the battle gets rough, when the way gets hard, oh Lord, I'm trying so hard. Seems everything's a failure. Oh, whatever I do, whatever I say, keep me sanctified. Let's sing it together again. Oh, keep me sanctified. When those storm clouds gather, when my valley gets rough, when the way gets hard, oh, when I'm trying so hard and everything's a failure, Lord, whatever I do, whatever I say, keep me sanctified.
Come at this time. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Oh, I've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I would take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil busy tries to turn me around. Well, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want. Oh, worldly fame, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, there's nothing in the world can ever take the place of God's love. All that silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. Oh, when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel its power. Take nothing for my journey. Let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, I would take nothing for my journey now. Oh, gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tried to turn me around. Well, he's offered everything. He's got a name, Lord, all the wealth I'd want. Worldly fame, if I could, still wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh yes, there's nothing in the world could ever take the place of God's love. All your silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. But when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel his fire. Then and there I would say, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd want. Oh, in world fame, if I could, still I wouldn't take none. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it tonight. Oh, yes, I would.
That way tonight. If you don't, I hope before you leave tonight you do feel that way. Amen. God bless you. We want to look again with the help of the Lord at these flawed characters. And amen. I'm thankful that there were some besides just me that were flawed, but we've been looking at this for the last few weeks on our Wednesday night services, and we want to continue a little further. We've been dealing with men. But I didn't want you to think that only men had flaws, so we're going to look at some women in the Bible tonight as well. St. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. We've been going through the lineage of Jesus here. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begot Ezram, and Ezram begot Aram, and Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahson, and Nahson begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Let's just bow our heads together, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you again tonight, and Lord, we're a needy people. I just ask that you'd be in the service tonight, and may you just move on the scene in a special way for each one. Lord, it's the middle of the week, and we've already survived in Satan's Eden for a couple days this week, and just ask you to give us help and strength to make it through the rest of the week, Father. Lord, may the words that are spoken tonight, Lord, through the scriptures, the reading of the quotes, and whatever you'd anoint me to say, Father, may it be something that would encourage hearts, that would help us just to encourage us just to go a little bit further. And Lord, may you just stir our hearts again. And Lord, may you give us what we have need of. If there's any sick in our midst, may you heal them. Lord, if there's any that are suffering or struggling, maybe they've had a hard week, maybe they've had harsh things said to them, maybe they got their feelings hurt, or maybe they've been discouraged, but Lord, may you just comfort them tonight, we pray. Come on the scene for each situation that each one is facing. Lord, you know how to come and give peace even in the middle of the storm. I just ask you to be with us tonight, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. We've been looking at this the last few weeks, and we started off with Abraham, and then we went down to Isaac and Jacob and Judah, and how Judah and Tamar, the twins that they had there. And then we kind of leave off in the Bible after the twins that Judah had through Tamar, and we don't really find out anything else about these others, Aram and Amminadab and Nahson. because we're going through the time there in Egypt when the children of Israel were in bondage, and there's not really anything written very much about them. So we're going to go right on down and look at Rahab and Salmon here, and just want to kind of background this story a little bit tonight. And we just going to look at this. We kind of went through the genealogy here, but want to look at it again, Ruth chapter 4, verse 18. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. And so we get down to this gentleman who Brother Bram teaches us was through the histories, was a captain in the army of Israel. And we want to look mainly tonight at his wife, Rahab, and her life. And she was definitely another one of these flawed characters. I thank God that we have these types in the Bible that we can look at, because if not, when we begin to look at our own flaws, we wouldn't give ourselves much of a chance. But when we can look and we look in the Scripture and see different ones, that they weren't perfect either, but yet God used them and God helped them and God made a way for them. It encourages us that if He did it for them, He can do it for us as well. Amen. And just want to say it's good to be gathered together with you again tonight. And I don't know about you, but whatever the Lord has for us tonight, I'm looking forward to it. And if we don't stay with the notes, that's okay. Or if it goes along with the notes, that's all right too. But if you have a need tonight, you just pull on the gift, and we'll see what the Lord has in store for us tonight. Brother Branham begins to talk about this lady in Why Christ Speak in 1959. He's preaching at Brother Junior Jackson's church in Clarksville, Indiana, when he says this. He said, "I'd like to make mention of one woman that I think of in the Bible, and she was bad to begin with, rotten to the core. Reminds me of a lot of message people, like you and me and everybody else. Bad to begin with, rotten to the core. A young, beautiful woman by the name of Rahab. She was a heathen to start with, and she was a prostitute on the street, but she heard that there was a God, not an idol that sat dumb or a declaration of creeds, but a God who lived among his people and anointed them, and signs and wonders following them, she heard about it." And we want to pick this up in Joshua chapter 2 and begin to look at the story of this little lady and how everything transpired here in her life. And we just start with it to see, how that she kind of comes on the scene in the Old Testament there. Joshua chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, 'Thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath.'" So here, no doubt the Israelites, as we've heard the story, how that Moses sent out these 12 spies, and he picked captains out of each tribe, of each of these tribes, and he sent them out to spy out the land. And as they went out to spy, they get to Jericho, and here there's a city of giants, and it's great walls around
around it. And these men are men of war who've been trained from their youth to be warriors. And my, they look upon them and they come back and they bring back a report. And 10 of them came back saying, you should see the size of the walls. You should see the size of the men. We're just like grasshoppers before them. And it's impossible for us to take this city. It's impossible for us to have victory over these things that we're facing. But there were two others that went out with them, a Joshua and a Caleb. And they came back with a report. They were carrying grapes from the promised land. And instead of saying, look at the size of the giants, or look at the size of the walls, they came back and their report was, look at the size of the grapes. Look at the blessings that are waiting us. They weren't looking at the trials that were ahead of them. They weren't looking at all the things that they had to face down the road. And, oh, it's too hard to be a Christian, and it's too hard to live this life, and it's too hard to do this, and it's too hard to do this, and we'll never get the victory, and we'll never make it, never this, never that. But no, they were looking at the promise instead of looking at what the difficulty was ahead of them. They said, oh, Moses told us that it was a land flowing of milk and honey, and surely it is. And these 10 said, oh, yes, that's true. We'll agree. It's a wonderful land, but we just can't attain it. And they said, oh, we're more than conquerors. We're more than able to take it. Why? Because the prophet had already said that they were going to. Let's look at this at the great warrior Joshua in 1955. He says, God said, I'll send my fear before you. Amen. There it is. I'll send my fear before you, for you're my people, my covenant people. I called you by election. I have chosen you. I have put you into the body and you're circumcised. Now you're believers and you go on. I'm with you. It's all yours. Amen. They hadn't gained a foot of it yet, but the God had spoke the promise. It's all yours. And they didn't have to sit and wonder, oh my, how's it going to happen? How's it going to take place? Wonder what this one's going to do. Wonder what that one's going to do. Wonder how on earth we'll take those walls. Do you think that Moses will construct some great battering ram to knock them down? I mean, he was raised in the knowledge of the Egyptians, and maybe he has some scientific process to get something where we can saw through the walls and sneak in at night. Or they weren't worried about the walls. They weren't worried about the size of the men. They were just looking to the promise. Oh, I wish we could do that tonight, to recognize that it's not about what we can do. It's not about how great that we are, but it's already finished work with Jesus Christ. It's already done. It's already, I've read the end of the book, friends, and we're winners. Yeah. Amen. We don't have to worry. You know, you can stay up all night and wonder and worry. How's it going to happen? Who's going to make it? What's the next trial going to be? Where's the next bill going to come from? How am I going to be able to pay for it? What about this medical problem? What about this? What about that? And you can lay and worry yourself till you're just sick at your stomach and you can't sleep at all. But God's already promised that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. And they begin to look, and these 10 tribes, they worried the people and got them all distraught. But there were a couple of overcomers in the crowd that they stood up and said, we're more than able. And what they didn't recognize was in all their fear and all their looking at the obstacles and looking at the circumstances, and the doctor said there was no hope, and the banker said he couldn't loan me any more money, and my car's about backslid on its last leg, and all the different circumstances. They weren't looking at that, but these two weren't that were overcomers, but to the ones that were looking at that and that were worried and that were afraid, what they didn't realize was that these men, even though they were giants and even though they were great behind great big walls, they had heard about a Red Sea parting and about a people of God that was delivered from the greatest military power on the face of the earth, and they came out with a mighty hand, and God was with them, and he plagued those people that tried to keep them in bondage, and here they come through and supernatural signs following them, and a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they walk across on dry land, and these great giants behind their great walls were shaking in their boots. She said, our hearts failed within us when we heard of you. Oh my, let's look a little further. He says, now let's liken that today, that Palestine belonged to Israel. That was their dwelling place. You see it? That was their dwelling place for Israel to dwell in. He said, this body is yours. God gave it to you. It's your dwelling place. God wanted you to have it. But the devil has moved in, cancer, tuberculosis, diseases. You say, I'll take him out. I'll do this. I'll do that. Satan's moved in on your territory. Maybe he's moved in on your bank account. Maybe he's moved in at your job and he's tried to cause troubles. Maybe he's moved in at your school and he's tried to get the other children upset at you. Maybe he's moved in your marriage and begin to try to cause a little tiff here and a little tiff there, and the little arguments become big arguments, and quick apologies become long apologies. And where once you had good communication, maybe you don't communicate together very well anymore. I hope I'm preaching to somebody tonight. And Satan has tried to move in and attack. He's tried to take your children. He's tried to take your marriage. He's tried to take your health from you. And he's moved in and gave you sickness in your body and all kinds of diseases. But let me tell you tonight, it's yours. It's not his. It's not his body. God gave it to you. And let me just read you this, what the prophet said. He said, but you know what? Something's happened. The pillar of fire come in among us, the captain of the host of the Lord, and every devil that's got the people bound tonight is scared to death. You're scared maybe tonight. Oh, I don't know about the finances. I don't know about the economy. I don't know about the Pope's visit. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I don't know about that bad report that the doctor gave me. Let me tell you, you shouldn't be the one that's afraid tonight. But every demon out of hell, Brother Bram said, when the weakest of Christian goes to his knees, that Satan trembles. Amen. That gives me a little hope tonight. It gives me a little victory, a little bit of encouragement. That even if I'm the weakest, Brother Layton, all I got to do is this to make him tremble. All I got to do is get down on my knees and start talking to my Creator. And Satan goes, oh no, I tried to keep him too busy. I tried to get him too upset. I tried to put every obstacle in his way to keep him from praying today. And there that little guy goes down again. And he begins to tremble, Brother Jimmy. We shouldn't be the ones that are afraid. those giants, everybody was afraid of them, but they were the ones that was afraid. It wasn't Israel that should have been afraid. It was them that should have been afraid. Joshua chapter 2 verse 12, he says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me. This is Rahab speaking to the two spies there that had gone into Jericho. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto me, and to my father's house, and give me a true token. A true token. And that you will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She wasn't like a lot of us that come to the message and we get a revelation and that's all. We got it, me, myself, and I, and our four, and no more. And we get to a spot to where we don't need anybody else. But when she heard about this, she said, don't just let it be for me, but I want it for my daddy. I want it for my mommy. I want it for my brothers, my sisters, my uncles, my cousins, and not just them, but all that they have. I want a true token. And the men answered her, our life for yours. Ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by court through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Here she is. She's living in this great walled city, and her house sits right up against the wall of Jericho, and she lets down this scarlet cord to let them down. They said, you just leave that there as a token. Brother Bram said, you can trace that scarlet cord, that scarlet thread, all the way through the Bible, all the way through. You can see it. He said, that was that scarlet thread. That scarlet represented the blood of Jesus Christ that was waiting for us, hanging not over the walls of Jericho, but hanging on our old rugged cross to be a token for us, that you could say, oh, not just me, Lord, but also my family, my mommy, my daddy, my cousins, my brothers, my sisters, my children. Give me a true token, Lord. And he was lifted up as an ensign for us. What a happy people we ought to be. There she was living right on the edge of Jericho there and in this great walled city. And for many years, historians and archaeologists and atheists had claimed that there was no great walled city of Jericho. And they claimed that the Bible was wrong. And then they begin to dig a little deeper. Well, sometimes that's what we need to do. People say, oh, Brother Bram said this, and he said that, and, these defectors said this and said that, and they've raised this argument and that argument, and they say it never was. Why don't we dig a little deeper? Why don't we dig a little deeper? Oh, they said that there never was a David. There never was a king in Israel named David. There never was a Pontius Pilate. But then the archaeologists began to dig a little deeper, and they found out it was. They said there was no walls of Jericho. They began to dig a little deeper, and they found out something strange about it, that when they began to dig down and they found all these crumbled walls, that there was one section of wall, for some strange reason, Brother Jimmy, that hadn't crumbled with the rest of it. Some strange reason. Because of a token, a true token. Because of a true token. Oh my, what a blessed people we are. And let me just remind you that we're looking at this, we're looking at flawed characters, and we're seeing what God is doing. But this was a woman, Brother Branham told us, she was no good to begin with. She was no account. Here she was. She was raised an idolatress, raised a heathen, raised a prostitute, had a terrible life. No doubt, you know, a lot of message people today wouldn't even want to be around her or let her come to their church. But yet God looks down through time, and he sees the lineage going down through from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and he's looking down, as we looked at it last Wednesday. He's not looking so much at each of these individuals that, oh, well, Abraham made a mistake here, and Jacob made a mistake there, and, you know, Judah made a mistake over here, and each one as they went down. He's not looking at all these mistakes, but he's looking down through time, and he sees a rugged cross standing there, and he sees his only begotten son, that he came and gave his life to the world, that it was a created body that God stepped into and gave his life. Why? So he could redeem back Adam's fallen race. And he's not looking down with a magnifying glass at Adam's mistake and Abraham's mistake and Jacob's mistake, but he's looking down the end of the road at the promise, and he's getting this one together with that one, and this one together with this one, all the way down through this great lineage to bring out a Joseph and a Mary. And then he creates an egg and creates a seed, and he places it in the womb of Mary to fulfill prophecy of what Isaiah had said, a virgin would conceive. And then she brings forth and brings forth this son, and Gabriel comes and tells her he'll be called Emmanuel, God with us. Not the first person or the second person or the third person, but the person, God with us. And so they look down through this line, but yet there was a Jacob who made mistakes, and there was a Judah who made mistakes, and there was a Rahab that was a harlot. But yet God, looking down through time, by predestination, by election, he could have chose better people as far as their backgrounds and their lifestyles, and he could have just created a race of people that, my, they didn't even hardly want to sin, and they were just, you know, a bunch of goody two-shoeses, and they didn't have any problems with, you know, any type of temptation, and they just, you know, everything, you couldn't find a place to put your finger on them. They just walked through life and nothing bothered them. They never got upset. They never had a negative word to say. He could have created a race of people like that and brought his son through it, but I'm thankful that he didn't, or it sure wouldn't give me much grace. Sure wouldn't give me much faith that, oh, look back through my life, all the mistakes, all the failures, everything else, and I think, God, why? Why would you choose me? Why would you pick me when there were so many other that were better? There were so many other that lived holier. There were so many other that were more intelligent. There were so many other that were more capable. Why would you choose me, God? And then I begin to look back through the pages of the Bible, and I see harlots and idolaters and heathens and liars and shysters and all kinds of mixed up situations. And God went right down there and said, I chose this one and I chose that one. It wasn't about what they did or what they didn't do. It was about what he did. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line. Let me go back, sorry. She said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon him. Here he's telling them, oh, if you can just get them under the token. Well, you're going to hang this scarlet thread down the side of your house there, down the side of the wall. And if you can get, I don't care who it is, if it's your neighbor, if it's your daddy, if it's your granddaddy, if it's your aunt or uncle or your children, just get them in the house. Oh, sometimes I wish we could just get them in the house for a while. Get them in his presence, not just in a church building, not just around a message book, although we appreciate that, not just around a tape or not just around a pastor or not just around a message person, but if we can just get them in his presence for a little while, if we can just bring them in the house and just get them in his presence for a little while, then he can begin to quicken things to them, and those books and those tapes and that Bible and all these different things will become, it'll become alive to them when they can look and they can see living testimonies and examples of his presence in our generation. Oh, if we could just get them into the house a little while, into his presence. And they said, if you can get them in there, if you can get them in the house, if you can get them under this great token, then anybody that touches them, it'll be upon us and we'll give you a covenant. Oh, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see that token, I'll pass by. But if they go out, if they won't stay in that presence, if they won't stay under the token and they go outside of it, then we're not responsible. But oh, just get them in the house, Rahab. Joshua chapter 6, verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. She hid the messengers that we sent. Now here, people could look today and they would say, who does Rahab think she is? That she's any different than anybody else, or that she's any better than anybody else. Maybe some of the city folk there say, I remember Rahab. She was just an old harlot on the side of the street there, and She never, you know, never did anything good for the city. It was always something bad. And who does she think she is, that she's called out and she's separate and that she's different? There are a lot better people than her. There are people that serve our priests and serve the temple and serve our gods much better and much more consecrated than she ever did. And their works were much better than hers. And they lived much higher than she did. And they, you know, gave to the community more. And my great governors and mayors and all these different kinds of people. And they were good religious people. Who does Rahab think that she is? She was the only one with the token. Her and those that she got in the house with her. Oh, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now, in our day, it wasn't just two messengers that were sent, but there were seven messengers that were sent down through the seven church ages. And those that received those church age messengers, not only did they receive the benefit of the signs and wonders and the loaves and fishes that went along with those ministries, but if they truly received the message for that day, then they were under the token for their day. They were under the word for their day, and people can say what they want, but it makes them eligible for something that nobody else is eligible for, and that's a rapture. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, all those so-called good people down through the ages, there were maybe many good ones that had many wonderful works that they did for the community, and maybe they never said a swear word, and maybe they did all kinds of wonderful things and lived pure and holy. So did the Pharisees, and Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. But there was a certain group that recognized these messengers for each day. And when they received those messengers, and it wasn't so much that they hid them, but what did they do? Like David said, they hid their words in their heart. It wasn't so much that they were physically hiding the messengers in a basket like Moses, or under these sheaves like Rahab did these two messengers, but they were hiding that message that they received for each day in their hearts, so that there was something about it that they had quickening power when it comes time for rapture. The token 1963, Brother Bram says it this way. He says, anyone knows anything about the Bible knows that harlot was predestinated. Oh my, predestinated harlot. Oh yes, there's been many down through times. There was one that came and washed the feet of Jesus one time with tears and dried them with her hair. There was one that he cast seven devils out of one time. There was many that were predestinated. There was not just that. There was drunkards and drug addicts and thieves and murderers and everything else that God chose down through time. And, you know, as we could say like Paul, but by the grace of God, we would have been the same way. But what was it? God, by predestination and election, he called us out of something. Hey, man, you may not have killed nobody, but you may have sure ran down their character and stabbed them in the back that way. Hey, man, you may have never got out there and got so drunk that they had to drag you out of the gutter, but you may have thought about it a few times and really wanted to. I heard Brother Branham say on tape today, he said, some of these go out and drink, you know, themselves away and all that. He said, I'm a nervous person too, but he said, I don't need that. He had got a different type of inoculation. He was getting drunk on new wine, not on this wine that you get down here at Kroger or Huber's or anywhere else. He had the kind like they had on the day of Pentecost. Anyone knows anything about the Bible knows that that harlot was predestinated. She sure was. She didn't. The Bible said she perished not with them who believed not. That's right. But she believed the message of the hour. And God gave her a sign by his messengers. Said, take a scarlet red streak and tie it on you. Said, remember, if you don't tie that streak there or leave it there, what we've escaped by, we're not responsible for our oath. And said, if you're out from under it, we're not responsible. Oh my, can you imagine if she had got there and said, oh my, people, the neighbors are going to talk if I do this. And they'll say, what on earth is she doing now? And oh my, they'll think all kinds of different things. And she just decided to pull that scarlet thread up and hide it away. And they said, Joshua, when you get there, we made a covenant with this woman. God will hold us to our oath that when we see that scarlet thread hanging off of the wall, we're not supposed to touch that home. And they got there and there's no scarlet thread there. Well, it's not there. Fault that she didn't keep what the word had said. Hey man, there's many today, oh, I know Brother Bam said this, and I know the Bible taught this, and I know we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that, but I think it's okay. You better be careful. If you don't stay under the token, if you don't keep the token applied to your home or wherever you're at, if you don't keep that token applied, God's not responsible when you get out from behind the word. Remember Eve, she stood there, and as long as she stayed behind the word, God said you won't die. But as soon as she stepped out from behind that word, death set in, not only to her, but the whole human race. Why? Because she stepped from behind the protection of the word. It won't only happen to Eve, it won't only happen to Rahab, but let me tell you tonight, when you begin to step from behind the protection of the word, and you begin to say, well, I don't think this is needed, I don't think we really need to go to church today, I don't think we really need preachers today, I don't think we really need to listen to tapes today, I don't really think we need to live this way, or dress this way, or that all these different things should be this way, when you step from behind the protection of the word, then Satan has free reign to come in. But when you're behind the protection of the word, oh, trials will still come, sickness will still come, all those things will still come. But we have a promise that we can claim to, that God, I'm doing the best of my ability to stand behind your word. I'm maybe in the midst of this trouble, I'm maybe in the midst of the trial, but I know that you'll deliver me because I'm behind your word. But there's no deliverance outside of the word. Remember in the days of Noah, there was deliverance under a great message. And all the other preachers and all the other boat architects and everybody else that thought they had a great idea, all the rest of them perished and drowned. But there was one group of people that they were behind a deliverance message. And once they got behind that message of deliverance, it brought deliverance to them. But those that were out from under it, the very same message became a message of judgment. I was talking with some people today about different things going on around the nation and all these different things, the Pope's visit and this deal with Ukraine and all these different things. I said, all I know is Brother Branham didn't tell me to watch Ukraine. He didn't tell me to watch the Arabs. He didn't tell me to watch Hezbollah. Didn't tell me to watch Islam. He told me to watch Russia. He told me to watch Israel, God's timepiece. He told me to watch that purple curtain. Amen. And so we look and we see, I'm not really too worried about Russia, because I don't plan on being here when that part of prophecy is fulfilled anyhow. He said before one bomb drops, the bride would be gone. So I'm not too worried about that part of it. But I do want to keep an eye to see the time that we're living in. He said Israel was God's timepiece. And to watch that purple curtain at how the Catholic Church moving in these things. So we do watch these things. And we look in the news. And we see fulfillment. And we see prophecy. And somebody was saying even this deal with all these different governments and things. These deals that we're making. That it, a lot of that uranium and things are going to uranium and things for a certain percentage of it is going to Russia anyhow. And I said, well, that'll just just get us out of here that much quicker. Said, oh my Rahab, every predestinated seed in here, you get out there and go to hunting them. Get your daddy, get your mother, for we've just come out under that atonement down in Egypt, and everything that didn't have under that token perished. Everything that wasn't under that token. Remember Moses said, told and what the angel of the Lord had told him, said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And they still celebrate the Passover because of it. And they went and they painted the doorpost with the blood of the Lamb. And when that death angel came down the road and he saw that token applied, all those that were under the token, he passed by. But all the others, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if you were, you know, here was Aaron, a great high priest, and God called him in this great priesthood. But it didn't matter if you was Aaron's uncle or if you was, you know, somebody there that was a good buddy with Joshua. It didn't matter if you was, you know, somebody that was maybe not even Israelite, just an Egyptian that had loaned Caleb some money. It didn't matter who you were. If the blood wasn't applied, the death angel came. But if the blood was applied and you had that over the door, it didn't matter if you was the rankest scallywag in the country. Didn't matter who your daddy was or what type of past that you had. When you recognized the word for your day and all of these things that you'd done, maybe you'd been the worst person in the neighborhood. But then once you recognized the word for your day and you applied that token, the angel wasn't looking at your past. He was looking at the token that was applied over your home. Oh my, for we just come out under that atonement down in Egypt, and everything that didn't have under that token perished. Rahab, I'm giving you a sign. It's a token, and I say in the name of the Lord, as to say, if you will put that, I'm acquainted with that, with the messenger. Amen. I'm glad to be acquainted with that, with the messenger. He said his message and the message, you couldn't separate them. I may have never met him and shook his hand in person, but oh, I'm very acquainted with his message. I'm glad to be represented with it. I'm glad to be acquainted with it. Said, I'm acquainted with the angel of wrath, Joshua. He's God's destroying messenger. I'm acquainted with him and knows he knows that there has to be a token sign. And you hang that there, and I'll assure you, I take oath, and God took oath too, that what was out from under it would perish, and all that was under it will live. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, and with the edge of the sword. You can imagine to look out in the streets that day and see all that was taking place, all the chaos. And here, sitting in the city, maybe you just got your coffee that morning and you looked out the window and hear these Israelites march around the city again. You think, what on earth are they doing? They've been doing this every day for 7 days now. And they haven't done it every day. They march up here and everybody gets their armor ready and everybody gets the walls braced and everybody gets their swords and their shields and we're ready for battle. And here they go and they march around the city and we look over here this way and they go around this side and we think, well, there ain't even no gate over there. What are they doing marching over there? And all the way around to the back of the city and we look over the walls. What on earth are they doing? And then they just go home. They don't get excited. They don't bang the drums. They don't clang the cymbals. They don't shout the trumpets. They don't do nothing. They just walk around and leave. But then there was something a little different on the seventh day. Joshua told him, he said, don't you shout. Don't you make a noise just because your neighbor did or the person sitting beside you in the pew. But he said, oh, on that seventh day, when we begin to go around and those priests begin to blow that trumpet, you shout with everything that's within you. Oh, my, we're just going to have a Pentecostal jubilee. And when they did, the walls begin to shake and the pillars begin to fall and everything began to crumble down. But there was one little family. You know, everybody else maybe turning on the news, flipping through the channels. What's WHAS 11 say about it? What's What's Fox News say? What's CNN saying? Seeing all the different reporters out there. Oh, my. We've got, we're trying to interview everybody. We try to interview gets killed. And my, there's a guy over here just killed a whole family. And all these, you know, Philistines out here, these great big giant men, these little bitty guys from Israel are coming through and just slaughter them left and right. And we're going to have to go off the air now so that we can try to escape ourselves. And they flip to the next channel and see what is this. And oh, my, they were in terror and they were in fear. And they were locking every deadbolt and every window that they could think of. But there was one little home. Didn't have to worry about it. Wasn't afraid. All the shaking going on around them, and maybe not even a picture fell off their wall. Token 1963. And then when that God honored it, the house never shook down. And when Joshua stood there and gave the signal to destroy the whole thing, went right straight up. And Rahab and all of her people set right, and all their possessions, amen, amen. All their possessions was in the house safely. They just stood there, didn't have to look out the window. They could read the scripture while the battle was going on. Oh, glory to God. You know, they didn't have to go and check the latest website to see what was going on with the economy, and they didn't have to panic about their bank account and move their 401k over to here and there, and they didn't have to think about, oh, what is this one doing and what is that one doing, and here this one's coming and this one's going and all these different things, and get worried and upset and keep looking out the windows. Oh, so-and-so's house, you know, that we used to go to school with down the road, they just got destroyed, and this one left the message and that one left the message, and oh, what's so-and-so going to do? What church is brother so-and-so going to go to? And oh my, worried about this and worried about that. They could just sit there, read the scripture. Oh my, I sure enjoy this scroll that those messengers left for us. My, you know, I've never read anything like this in all my life, Rahab. I'm so glad that you told us about these end time messengers that had come and had showed us this truth. Oh, can you read that part again about what Moses said about us going to the promised land? Oh, can you read that part about the Red Sea parting again? Oh, can you imagine Moses sitting there in his last few years and just sitting and penning all this? And oh, I wonder how he knew about Adam and Eve and what color hair Esau had. I wonder how Moses knew. Read me that part again about Jacob and about Judah. Oh my, you know, if guys like that can make it, maybe there's some hope for us, Rahab. She said, oh, there is. You just keep an eye on that scarlet cord. Make sure the token's still applied, and I'll just keep reading these scriptures. They just sat there, not a worry in the world. Why? Because they had a token. They had a promise. Joshua chapter 6, verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Thank God for a token. Amen. Thank God that when all the world is literally falling apart, nation fighting against nation, and economies falling here, and you know, prestigious personalities falling there, and everything falling apart, and no uncertainty, and people worried about their jobs, and worried about their health, and worried about all these different things, that the bride of Jesus Christ can just sit and say, I have a promise. I have a promise. I have a token. I know whom in whom I have believed. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ or of his messenger. I've hid his word in my heart, and I know where I'm going. Amen. Amen. Token again, 1963. It says, believe for safety, then apply. I think, you know, sometimes you look at different things. You look at shampoo or whatever, and it'll say wash, rinse, repeat. And it seems very simple, but sometimes those very simple instructions are very important. And I think this is good too. Believe for safety, then apply, see? Believe for, here's what you want to believe for, see? You want your own safety. Remember, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Apostle Paul taught us. You want your own safety. You believe for your safety and apply the token for the whole family, see? You say, how can I do that? Claim it. If it worked on you, then you and the Word becomes one. Amen, amen. See, it works for both of you. You and the Word are one. Then apply it to your children. Apply it to your loved ones like Rahab did. She applied the token to her father. She applied it to her mother. She applied it to her brothers and sisters and got them all in. You apply it. Say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her, Satan. You turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I applied my token. The Holy Spirit, oh Holy Spirit that lives within me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me. He'll do it. Amen. He'll do it. Amen. We make it so complicated. We get so worried, so upset. It's pretty simple. Believe for your own safety, then apply. Don't just believe for yourself. Apply it to somebody else. Apply it to that person you've got a burden on your heart for, that loved one that's gone astray, that cousin that maybe you haven't talked to, that wonder what they're doing, wonder how they're doing, wonder how they're struggling, wonder where they're at, wonder if they still believe. Apply it. Don't just, it's not just a magic formula that we just wave a message book over them and say, I apply the token. That's Catholicism. No, but you claim it. If you believed it for yourself, if you believed it enough that God changed you from your old wicked ways, maybe you were like a Rahab. Maybe you were like a Jacob. Maybe you were like a Judah or an Abraham or one of these. But if God could forgive you and give you enough faith for your own salvation, then can't he give you enough faith for your family, for your loved ones, for those? Oh, you say you just don't know where they're at, Brother Nathan. Oh, I know where Rahab was. She was in a pretty big mess. I know where Judah got himself into. He was in a pretty big mess. But his grace was sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Amen. If he can change and stop the sun so that Joshua could keep on fighting, if he can change and even create a fish so that a prophet could be dropped in the right place at the right time and a fish could swallow him and take him and deliver him at his meeting, if he can do all these different things, if he can change the molecules that were in that fiery furnace so that the Hebrew children could walk through, and not only did they not get burnt to death, but they didn't even smell like smoke and their hair didn't even singe. Lord knows most of us with our hair sprayed would have had to take something supernatural to keep us from burning up. But their hair didn't smell like smoke. Their clothes didn't smell like smoke. Their hair wasn't singed. They walked right out on the other side. If God can do all of that, if God can change kingdoms, and if God can change the hearts of the wicked, and if God can change and bring plagues and do all these different things just to get his people into the promised land, don't you think that he's mindful of you tonight? That whatever you're going through, that whatever your family's facing, that God can still come on the scene for you? Oh, if you believed it for yourself, can't you believe it for your house, for your loved ones, for those that have gone astray? He said, that's what they did in Egypt. That's what they did in Jericho. If you want to read another one, Acts 16, verse 31, Paul told the centurion, believe, I'm the messenger of the hour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou and thy house shall be saved. That right? Believe for your house. Bring them all under. Hey, man, it's not, we have a possession. The children of Israel, they had a possession. And Rahab, even though she was a harlot, and even though she was just a lady that lived in Jericho, she wasn't part of that tribe that had came down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. She wasn't a Jew. But yet in all that, she was going to be part of the family, and she didn't even know it yet. She just knew that God had given her a promise. And we'll get into it next week. We don't have time to even look into that part of it tonight. But God was going to use her not only to marry a good Christian, godly, I guess they weren't Christians then, but if Christ had came yet, they would have been a good, godly chief captain there, that she was going to, marry this man that would look beyond her faults and look beyond her mistakes and look beyond all these different things and be the right kind of husband to her. And not only that, but they would bring forth a child, and that child would bring forth a child, and that child would bring forth a child until there would be a king named David. And then he would bring forth a child and a child. And finally, we'd get to the Lord Jesus Christ coming and being born by a virgin. And no doubt, oh my, can you imagine Rahab? She never got to see all that fulfilled, but she was a part of it anyhow. She was a part of it anyhow. There may be things that we never get to see fulfilled, but I'm glad I'm a part of it anyhow. Hey man, I'm glad I'm a part of this. I'm glad I'm identified with the messenger. I'm glad I've hid his message in my heart. I'm glad that if God could do it for Rahab, he can apply it for my family as well. I'm glad that if God gave her a promise and if God gave her an inheritance, that not only her, but her father and her mother and her brothers and her sisters and her household and all their possessions and everything, that God gave them a possession and God gave them a promise, that I'm sure he's mindful of us tonight, even through our faults, even through our failures, even through every little flaw. I'm sure he's mindful of us tonight. We have a possession, friends. Don't let the devil rob you of it and say, oh, you'll never be an overcomer. You'll never make it. You'll never do this. You'll never do that. That's right. You and yourself never can. But you and Jesus can do a whole lot together. There was a little boy one time, if the musicians would come. There was a little boy one time, and he was late for school, and he played hooky because he heard this man speaking. And he heard all kinds of stories about him. He thought, you know what? I might get a wore out when I get home, Brother Jimmy, but I'm going to stop and listen. And he stopped, and he had his little lunch there. It wasn't hardly enough to feed him, Brother Branham said. It wasn't even hardly enough for a full meal for himself. And he's standing there, and the people were hungry and tired, and Jesus had preached a lot longer than I have tonight. And the people were tired and hungry and weary. And he said, let's get them some food. And the disciples came and said, Master, said, we don't have hardly enough money between us to buy us lunch, let alone this 5,000 people. And said, it's too far for us to go back and haul the food. Why don't you just dismiss service and let them go home? They're weary and they faint. And Jesus said, well, what do you have? You say, oh, I'm not the pastor. I'm not the Sunday school teacher. I can't even hear a note hardly to play it, let alone be a musician. I don't feel called to be a deacon, and I don't feel called to do this, and God just never really placed me in this or that. Well, what do you have? What do you have? Jesus turned on the disciples. We don't have money to feed them. We don't have the food to feed them. We don't have the talents to, you know, we don't have vehicles to transport them. He said, what do you have? They didn't have very much. That's okay. I didn't have very much either. I didn't have very much. I didn't have very much wisdom or talent or ability. But I just want to give what I do have to Jesus. And so he stood there and said, what do you have? And they searched out through all the crowd. They probably started with the men first. Anybody bring a Snickers bar with you or anything? What have we got here? And they emptied their pockets. Nah, what little I had, I ate it on the way. And then they thought, well, surely the wives have some Cheerios for the children or something. No, they already ate it all up. And they finally get to one little boy. So I got some loaves and some fishes here, but it's barely enough for me. And they said, well, Jesus, it's pretty pathetic. We really don't have anything, but we're just going to give you what we have. He said, that's enough. Oh, you may seem pretty pathetic sometimes. You might think, oh, Lord, how can you ever use me? Just give him what you have. It's enough. Amen. It's enough. And he began to break off and to hand out and break off and hand out. They began to take up baskets and more baskets and more baskets. And finally, Peter said, you better stop, Lord. We're going to have so many leftovers. I don't know how we're going to carry them back from those little loaves and fishes. It wasn't very much. But when Jesus got a hold of it, he could do great things with it. You may not have very much tonight. You may not have a lot of wealth or a lot of talent or maybe not have a great education or all these, but give what you got to Jesus and he can do something great with it. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we're assembled in your presence, we just ask you to be with us tonight, Lord. We thank you for this word that we've heard through the scriptures and the quotes that encourages our hearts, Lord, that if you did it for somebody else, if you did it for somebody that had as many mistakes and flaws and failures as people like Rahab and Judah and Tamar and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Lord, you're mindful of us tonight and you see our needs. And maybe Satan's tried to rob us. Maybe he's tried to rob our inheritance. Maybe he's tried to take our children, our families. Maybe he's tried to take our health. Maybe he's tried to destroy our finances or our marriages or our homes or whatever it would be. Maybe he's tried to destroy our reputation on our jobs or at our schools. But Father, may we not just sit there and let Satan rob our inheritance, but may we go forth and claim the promise. We may be unable in ourselves, Lord. We may have inabilities. We may have flaws. But help us just to give what we do have to you. Help us to be like those two spies that went out. I don't know how. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to make a way. But I know you'll make a way, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to go back and let us be possessors, Lord. Let us to go forth, Father, in your name and possess what you've promised for us. Lord, we claim our families. We claim our health. We claim, Lord, we don't have to have great riches and we don't have to have millions of dollars in the bank. But, Lord, we claim our financial stability to be able to provide for our families and have a roof over our head and food on the table. And, Lord, we claim all these things. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, we claim the health of our families, the salvation of our families. We claim restored marriages, and we claim restored homes. And we claim, Lord, just that even in our own inability, Lord, that through your promise that we'll be able to attain to these things. Not in our own ability, we have none. Not in our own talents, we have none. Not in our own knowledge, any that we have is just worldly wisdom, Father. But Lord, through you, through what you did, through that token that you gave, help us to apply that and to claim it for our homes, for our families, for our loved ones. Help us to believe it for ourselves. Help us to believe for that safety for ourselves, that even if the boat's rocking, even if the economy's unstable, or even if the nations begin to crumble, Lord, that we have somewhere that we can go to and hide ourselves in the cleft of the rock. Lord, that we have a place that we can go in you, that we can just sit and read the scriptures and let the whole world go by, but just to sit and to just bask in your presence and to know that you've got our lives in your hand, that you've got it in control, Father. Help us to just have confidence in you tonight, that you promised and that you're faithful to your promises. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Maybe Rahab could sit down years later. We'll look at her life a little further, Lord willing, maybe next Wednesday or whenever the Lord leads. Maybe she could sit down on the side of the road there and her grandchildren climb up in her lap. Grandmommy, tell us again about those walls of Jericho. Tell us again about how God saved you and protected you. Tell us again how that you got into this family and how that you became a part of this Israelite nation. Tell us again. You said that you were a bad woman. We don't understand maybe what that means, but you said you weren't worthy, and you said that you weren't even part of this people. But how is it, Grandma, that you were able to be a part of this? She told him, "Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life." I think that's every one of our testimony tonight. Oh, his mercy, it rewrote my life. Let's stand and sing. Oh, when I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but his mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, maybe you were headed a very different direction, but God's mercy, it rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but his mercy, it rewrote my life. Let's sing it again together. Oh, yes, his mercy. Is that your testimony tonight? Oh, yes, Lord, your great mercy, it rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul. Let's just worship him a little while together tonight. Oh, Lord, your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, your mercy, it rewrote my life. When I my soul cast down, but mercy, it rewrote my life. Let's sing it again together. Oh, yes, his mercy.
my soul cast down. Mercy, it rewrote my life. At night I lay in bed and I began to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull.
You feel it tonight?
Oh, I feel the pull.
That deep calling to me.
Oh, I hear God's call, and I know His Spirit.
Hearts tonight.
Oh, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. We come to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, I hear you call, and I know your Spirit, Lord, is moving me to give my all. Lord, won't you speak to me? Oh, Lord, I know I agree. Your bride has reached the goal, 'cause I feel
Oh Lord, I feel. What a privilege it is to feel that full. Oh, I hear Him call. Just to hear His voice. How blessed we are. And I know His Spirit is moving me. Lord, I want to give my all. You speak to me. Oh, Lord, You know that I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. Let's sing it again together. Oh, I feel the pull. I hear God's.
Let's sing this together. Oh, He's an on-time God.
Yes, He is. Oh, I tell you, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time. Church, I tell you, He's an on-time. Oh, I bet Rahab could sing it as she saw all those other walls falling. She looked around and said, oh, honey, He's an on time. Oh, daddy, mommy, sister, brother, let me tell you about it tonight. Oh, He's an on time God. Oh, yes, He is. Well, now, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time. Church, I tell you, He's an on time God. All right, in the midst of trouble, yet He comes walking on the water. Oh, He's an on time. Oh, yes, He is. Oh, He's an on time, God. I know that He is. Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there. Oh, every time He's an on time. God, yes, He is. And I feel like praising, praising Him. Is that how you feel tonight? Oh, yes, I feel like praising, praising Him. I want to praise Him in the morning. Oh, praise Him all day long. I feel like praising, praising Him. Oh, now why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? Don't let an opportunity go by. Oh, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? Oh, church, we ought to praise Him every morning and then praise Him all day long. Yes, I be. Like praising, praising Him. Let's just praise Him a little bit together. Oh, I feel like praising. Feel like praising Him. Yes, I feel. Oh, I want to praise Him in the morning, then praise Him all day long. God bless you. Dismissed tonight. Let's just sing it as we go. Oh, yes, I feel.